This episode is brought to you by Raygun. Raygun provides full-stack error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed accuracy, a product manager drowning in bug reports, or you're just concerned you're losing customers to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with the answers. Get full-stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your codebase, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com and get up and running within minutes and dramatically improve the online experiences of your users. This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 367. Today, CJ's flying solo with some news, recorded live July the 9th, 2020. All right, good morning, everybody. AC is sunning his scrawny hide in somewhere in South Florida, out on the Keys, I believe. He's out there with his family and taking some very well-deserved time off and staying isolated and safe and so forth. So hopefully he will be returning to us safe and sound next week. But for this week, you are stuck with me. And hopefully I have some exciting and interesting news and announcements and things to get through this week in the world of mostly Microsoft. We'll talk about some Teams advances, some work on Azure Container Instances that's going on, some Office 365 news, as well as some Microsoft Graph bits and pieces. So we'll hopefully keep this relatively quick and rapid fire. So without further ado, let's get on with some news. This episode is sponsored by Nintex. If you could score an extra hour or two back in your day, would you take it? Because our friends over at Nintex want to give you a gift. The gift of time. Seriously, if you haven't checked out what Nintex has to offer lately, you definitely should. The platform built on Azure has evolved a lot. In just the past few months, the Nintex team has added new process mapping capabilities, and most recently, a new eSign capability called Nintex Sign, powered by Adobe Sign. Nintex also continues to revolutionize products you know and trust, including Nintex Workflow and Forms. With the power of Nintex, it is faster and easier for you to configure, not code, giving you valuable time back every day to sprint it however you want. Test drive the Nintex Process Cloud at nintex.com. And now, back to the show. All right, so first up this week, we're going to talk about Teams. Teams is on an absolute bender. They are killing it right now, both from adoption and usage perspective and the numbers that we've seen coming out of the Microsoft Teams team and the things they're talking about in terms of how customers are using the product in this more remote world than we've ever dealt with before. But they're also absolutely crushing it in terms of features and functionality that they've been adding in rapid and quick fire succession. So just a couple of the things I wanted to touch on. First, there are some new meeting modes. The first one is called Together Mode. This is the ability to basically conduct a meeting and see a whole bunch more people in more of type of a gallery view, as if you were sort of presenting at the front of a room, right? So they've launched with a kind of a gallery view that almost looks like you're in an auditorium with a bunch of heads and faces and so forth and seats in front of you, which I guess would be a little bit more natural for giving presentations, as if you're standing at the front of a meeting room, for example. So it obviously cuts out all the background and puts those people's faces in the right spot and all that sort of stuff. So that's really cool. Another type of view that they've added is a thing called dynamic view. So you know how they've been adding, or you may know that they've been adding the ability to see more and more participants in a meeting rather than just, I think it was four to begin with. They've added the ability to see up to 49 people with all that video going and so forth in the large gallery view. But they've also introduced a new thing called dynamic view, which lets you sort of personalize how many people you see. I believe you can sort of pick and choose a bunch of different options of who goes where and all that sort of stuff, which I actually think would be really cool because when you're in a slightly larger meeting, sort of 6 to 8 people, you know, there's often a couple of people that are sort of not participating. You'll want to optimize your view for larger images of those folks who are speaking, I think, and this will give you a nice way to sort of personalize that experience. That's pretty sweet. Some other cool things they're doing, they're adding video filters for your videos. So not just the sort of the blur background and the background removal features that we've had, but you'll sort of be able to do the full CSI, like enhance video option for things like color correction and contrast and lighting correction, things like that. They're talking about a new feature called the Reflect Messaging Extension, and this is, or the Reflect Messaging Extension, I should say. And this is a sort of new app that they're adding that customers will be able to get from GitHub and add to their tenant, which looks like, from what they talk about here, it's the ability to sort of poll people in your organization or that are in your team or channel or what have you about how they're feeling and getting that feedback. So I guess we'll be seeing that roll out fairly soon as well, or the ability to go and at least go and add that to your tenant if you want to roll that sort of stuff out. And we've also seen things recently that talking about adding more live reactions, non-verbal cues to your meeting experience. So you don't have to say, you know, in a meeting, you don't have to interrupt and say, hey, that's great, or well done, or what have you. You can add thumbs ups and claps and stuff like that nice and easily as well. Gosh, the feature list goes on. They're adding, increasing the ability to have up to 1,000 participants in a meeting. Not sure I like those sorts of meetings, but I can certainly see the case in organizations where you want to do like an all hands meeting or something, and you've got more than whatever the limit was previously, a couple of hundred people, I think it was, something along those lines, you'll be able to add up to 1,000 people in that view now. You know, coupled with that, they're also adding the ability to do view-only meeting experience for up to 20,000 participants. So I guess this is probably, you know, good for when you want to do, I don't know, a really popular webinar or something. Goodness knows I haven't done a webinar with 20,000 participants, but hey, the option is there. Maybe an investor meeting, for example, or a shareholders meeting or something. You want to invite people into that meeting, you can do it through Teams now and not hit any of the previous limitations that you might have had with the old numbers of sort of max number of participants and things. Hot on the heels, a couple of weeks ago, I think AC and I spoke about a new Teams tasks application that's coming out that's sort of backed by what's going on with the Planner team and the Tasks team at Microsoft. Apparently, it was coming real soon. Now it's been delayed a little bit more. Completion towards end of July, I think. To August, yes. So you'll be able to go and add this new Tasks app to Teams in August, by the looks of it. Looks like it slipped a little bit. You know, the task experience in Office 365 is pretty disjoint. I think that's being kind of fit. Honestly, quite kind to the task experience in Microsoft 365. I'm actually looking forward to what's going on here with some of the consolidation with the tasks team and bringing together those tasks that you've got across things like Outlook and Planner and To-Do and things like that. So we will see what happens when this rolls out, but stay tuned in August for more of that. Now, some really big Teams news. This one, you know, I can see the pros and the cons of this, or I can see the positive side and also the really will this work side of it. I'm sort of playing a little bit of middle ground on this one. But Microsoft is rolling out a new set of friends and family features to Microsoft Teams with the view of enticing you to use Teams in your daily life with your family and friends. So internally, this was called Teams for Life at Microsoft. I don't know what they're calling it now, but they're basically saying, hey, there's no reason why you couldn't create a team and invite your family to it, and you can have shared calendaring and chat and use it for video calls and all that sort of stuff. But they've also added some other family-friendly kind of features like location finding, so you can find, you know, people, you know, on a map where they happen to be. So you can see, I don't know, where your kids might be, I suppose, or your spouse or something like that, or one of your friends. So yeah, chat, location, sharing photos. And then obviously stuff like voice and video is also obviously a key component to this. And then finally, they've added this thing called Safe, which is a place where you can put shared logins, usernames, secure notes, passwords, passports, driver's license, memberships, all of that sort of stuff. Now, this one I'm a little, well, this part I'm a little more skeptical about, because I think, you know, you could use a password manager for this sort of stuff, and I wouldn't want to put the stuff in Teams myself, but, you know, some people might find that really useful. But, you know, overall, Teams for Life, I don't know. Like, I'd be really interested in seeing what everybody listening to this thinks, because on the one hand, I can see, yeah, some of these features would be really useful to have amongst your family members. On the other hand, I'm just a bit skeptical in terms of getting people to adopt it. Like, people are using WhatsApp and things like that for this stuff today fairly successfully, or iMessage for things like this fairly successfully, And admittedly, Teams has more to it, I get that. But it takes a lot to get people to switch. And so if I'm using Teams at work, do I think I could convince my significant other or my family members or my mother, for example, into using Teams to talk with me for this stuff? I honestly think that's probably a bit of a stretch for me. But hopefully we'll see some numbers come out on this in terms of adoption and usage. I mean, Teams are absolutely going for it. So who knows? This may defy all of my wildest expectations and go absolutely crazy. But, you know, like AC and I have spoken on the show before, Microsoft doesn't have a great record when it comes to consumer type offerings. So we will see. Your mileage may vary. I'd be very interested to see if anybody's going to try this out. Apparently, you can go preview this. I think it's in preview. Go sign up, add your personal account, sign up with a Microsoft account, just add an additional account in your Teams application on your phone and start trying this out, inviting friends and family. I'm going to give it a shot just because I want to see what the experience is like. Finally, the last thing I want to mention for Teams is, you know, some time back, they added the ability to do background effects. So, you know, custom background, not custom backgrounds. They had a whole bunch of pre-canned backgrounds that you could use. So now Teams have added the ability to upload your own without sort of hacking them into the file system that you used to have to, or copying them into the file system that you used to be able to do. But you can go, you know, they've added an add new upload button effectively. But they're also adding these things called collections. So there's a bunch of collections from things like Lego building blocks and The Simpsons and all sorts of stuff. So who knows, Xbox collections, be interesting to see what they come up with. But there's a whole bunch of pre-canned ones you can go and check out, which I thought was pretty nifty. Makes it a bit easier. I don't know what your favorite one is. I've seen some really, really funny backgrounds. My personal favorite I use is the space shuttle cockpit. Or yeah, I've got a couple like that. Space-themed ones. Also, a Game of Thrones, you know, the Iron Throne was another popular one. I shouldn't say popular. It was one I saw and I really snort laughed at. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. So that's some Teams news. We've got new meeting options, a delay to the task application being rolled out, the new Teams for Life offering or whatever they're calling it for personal use, friends and family use, I should say, and custom backgrounds. That's the Teams news. Now, completely on a different tangent and more of a developer-focused area, Microsoft is releasing the ability to work with Azure Container Instances from the Docker desktop application. So if you build apps with Docker, then you'll be able to effectively build and run apps that are spun up in the Azure Container Instances rather than on your local machine. So this makes for some interesting scenarios. And, you know, if you're doing dev on your local box, you might be strapped for resources, for example. You might want to scale stuff out, maybe not just a single container, but you might want to spin up multi-container type apps, hook it up with Visual Studio Code and all of those sorts of things. And this gives you a really seamless way to do it without having to deal with a bunch of local infrastructure running things locally. So just being able to fire it up and flick it off to Azure Container Instances, for example. And really nice. I think it'll also give you the ability to run like Linux containers and all that sort of stuff, even if you're on a Windows machine, which would be nice because you can send it off to ACI to go and do. So that's pretty nifty. Now, this was also done by the blog post that we'll link to was put out by a guy called Mike Morton, who, for people who have been in the SharePoint and Office 365 development space for some time, may remember this name. He was a program manager that I worked pretty closely with when I was at Microsoft many years ago and was responsible for a lot of the Visual Studio tooling for SharePoint and especially for full trust code type apps people used to build for SharePoint and did with Visual Studio. He's moved on to dealing in the Azure space and in particular containers by the looks of it. So our old friend Mike Morton sticks his head up again. So good to see that Big Morty, and I can say that because in the screenshots in this blog post, you can see that his username in Docker looks like Big Morty. So there we go. Mike Mortensen is back in, sticking his head up back in Devland, and good on, this stuff looks really cool. Right. Before we dive into some Office 365 news in general, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by AvePoint. If you like The Cloud Show, you will love the Shift Happens podcast with Microsoft MVP and regional director Dux Raymond Tsai. Each week, Dux talks with one of the industry's brightest stars about their most challenging modern workplace or digital transformation projects. He uncovers the players, organizational hurdles, and last-minute surprises that inevitably arise when ambitious people try to impact their workplace. Season 1 features FedEx, Wells Fargo, Heathrow Airport, United Airlines, and other industry leaders. Go to www.avpoint.com/blog/shifthappens or search for the hashtag Shift Happens. That's one word, hashtag Shift Happens, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe today. Thanks to our sponsor, ShareGate. Does managing cloud spending keep you awake at night? Trying to figure out how your budget is being spent is enough to give anyone goosebumps. Our friends at ShareGate understand that most cloud architects and developers want to create great applications, not count dollars and cents. That's why they built ShareGate Overcast, to help admin control Azure costs through transparency, collaboration, and simplicity. With anomaly detection, AI-powered cost forecasting, as well as personalized cost recommendations in a unified Azure governance platform, you'll see results from the moment you connect Overcast to your tenant. To start a free trial of ShareGate Overcast so you can get back to building big ideas, visit sharegate.com/overcast_CS. Back to the show. Okay, so sticking with the dev theme for a second, Microsoft have announced that now you can subscribe to webhooks for presence information, not the presence you get under your Christmas tree, the presence information of when people are online. So, you know, the whole red, yellow, green dots you see in Teams when people are available and busy and all that sort of stuff. So rather than polling, now the presence APIs have been in Graph for a little while now, but rather than polling, you can now subscribe for webhooks under the WAC or /communications/presences/ID for a single user. Or you can also subscribe for the presence for up to 650 users at a time. Goodness knows how they came up with 650. By doing a filter type query to the graph on that communications/presences endpoint. And you can get webhooks for when people come, you know, when they're available, when they come online, available, busy in a way, in a meeting, on a call, things like that. So if you want to build presence into your application, you don't have to sit there polling every minute or 5 minutes or whatever, chewing up valuable resources, and you can subscribe to webhooks instead, which I thought was very nice indeed. So that's a great way to get access to that stuff through the graph and build in those little green, yellow, and red dots, gray dots, things like that, into your application to sort of enhance them and let people know when they're online and so forth. Right, so we've got another post here, which is a link to in the show notes. And this is kind of a wrap-up post, I guess, by Jared Spataro. What's sort of been new to Microsoft 365 in June? Now, I won't go through them all in great detail. A couple of things I've mentioned already about, you know, more faces in meetings I talked about with Teams and stuff like that. But the one in particular that I thought was pretty cool is a new feature that's coming, which is the ability to create reoccurring surveys in Teams. So you'll be able to effectively create a new form. I'm guessing this is backed by Microsoft Forms, you know, the Forms app, and that you'll be able to create a workflow to collect the responses from people and on a reoccurring basis. So for example, you might send this out, I don't know, every Monday or every second Tuesday of the month, for example, asking people, it could be sales related, right? You could send a little survey out that's like, what's your most difficult opportunity you're working on right now? Or how are you feeling about things at the office or not at the office at home? Or if you were the CEO for the day, what would be the one thing you'd do tomorrow? You could set up all sorts of things like that. Now, I thought that was pretty cool because it's kind of a mix up of using forms with flow, you know, that sort of thing to drive an interesting scenario in Teams of gathering feedback from people. And so, yeah, I thought that was a pretty interesting feature that will be coming out. It doesn't actually say when, but I looked in Teams and couldn't find this yet. So it's not in my tenant, but your mileage might vary, which I thought was, yeah, pretty nifty. Another one that is really interesting is being able to search more data sources using connectors through the Microsoft Graph. So there's been a preview going on for this for a little while, but now tenants who are in the, oh gosh, what do they call it? Targeted release tenants can now go into the Microsoft 365 Admin Center, into settings, and go into Microsoft Search, and you'll be able to connect to other data sources. So there's some ones, I guess, out of the box here, like ServiceNow and Microsoft SQL Server and Azure SQL and things like that. But you can go and build connectors to go hook into other data sources. And so this would be a great way for being able to push in interesting information from around your organization into the Microsoft Search results. This is something I've been keeping an eye on, because this will enable all sorts of other systems to push information into the search index that Microsoft drives its search from. And so this could be from custom line of business systems, could be from ISVs, applications as well, things like that. So that's pretty cool, because you'll be able to go do, you know, queries across multiple apps and get back results all in one location. And finally, there are a bunch of things in this post, but the final more interesting one of them, I guess, is, I don't know if everybody's seen, but I noticed this the other day, I turned on the new Yammer experience. And so this is a new designed UI for Yammer that's been a long time coming. It feels a lot more like Office 365 now in terms of style and that sort of thing. It's much more aligned with all of those kinds of things. I don't know how you all feel about Yammer. I feel very mixed about Yammer in general. But, you know, having said that, I do really like that they've done a refresh of this. There's still a lot of customers that use Yammer. Regardless of the confusion with Teams and all of that, there are plenty of people that still use it. And so a nice march forward in terms of how it looks and feels and works and things like that is really nice as well. So the new Yammer preview, I think you have to enable it in central administration, and then you can go into Yammer and toggle it on, I think, and the UI is how I got to it. So pretty cool stuff from Yammer there as well. So OneDrive fans, there is a bunch of new features being rolled out for OneDrive that look pretty interesting to me. The first one is the ability to sort of keep bookmarks to your favorite folders and files and things. So now you'll have like a My Files section in OneDrive that you can go find where you've effectively made bookmarks to other folders and files. It's effectively creating shortcuts. So it'd be a nice way, if you're heavily using OneDrive, you can quick links to a bunch of different places of the files that you use the most and folders you use the most from across OneDrive. They've also gone and added some features around adding files and Teams sharing integration. So the ability to go in and add documents in Teams and share documents in Teams in a much more sort of seamless and quick fire way by picking the files from OneDrive right from within the Teams experience. Really, really nice. We've got some other things around, they call them around flexible features. So things like 100 gigabyte file updates. So they've moved the max from 15 gig to 100 gigabytes in OneDrive, which, yeah, I get that you want to stick really big stuff in OneDrive like that sometimes, but wow, like over a 15 gigabyte file in OneDrive, there's got to be some pretty specific scenarios that that enables. I'm guessing things like media files and CAD and all this sort of stuff take up a bunch of room. Another one they mention here is comment notifications. So, you know, when you get a comment, you don't want to be distracted and all that sort of stuff. They're saying they're adding the ability to turn off comment notifications for individual files. That's pretty nice. So you don't have to, if you get bombarded on a particular file or what have you, you don't have to worry about that. Now, here's one that I thought's really interesting, right? I've moaned on this show a bunch about OneDrive Sync. So there are now some sync admin reports that are coming out for OneDrive where you can see across your organization which machines are having problems with different sync errors and what the common errors are and all that sort of stuff. So this gives a bunch more visibility into, you know, what's going wrong with OneDrive Sync across your organization. This is not out yet. It's apparently coming out later this year, but they wanted to mention it, point at and say, hey, we're working on this problem, perhaps. Things like that. Yeah. So anyway, that should really help with, you know, organizations that have rolled out OneDrive and are having, users complaining about sync issues. Now, the most important feature was left for last, which is dark mode for the web. I am only joking about the most important feature, but I know some people like dark mode. So now you've got it for OneDrive on the web, OneDrive on the web, as well as across your iOS and Android OneDrive apps. Pretty nice. I mean, you know, it's dark mode. It's not exactly innovation, but they obviously got asked about it enough to warrant building it. So that's kind of interesting. Hey, now back on some dev topics for a sec here before we jump into some picks. There are some breaking changes coming to the Teams APIs on the beta endpoint. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the details here, but there's basically some permissions, scope changes, and removal of some redundant data from various response messages and things. If you're building apps against Teams and you're using some of the beta API endpoints to do that, you will want to go check out this post by Nick Kramer. He details those. They are breaking changes. So your app will, if this uses this API, may break if you're expecting certain data to come back that doesn't, for example, or you don't have the correct permissions set up, things like that. Definitely something to be wary of there. So Teams, again, the beta endpoint is not supposed to be used for production for this very reason. But, you know, sometimes you're forced to use a beta API if you don't have anything else available. So I bet there are folks out here that are using these. Hey, at least we've got a heads up. But towards the end of July, so not very far away, there'll be changes made to the beta endpoint, which may break your applications. Something to be aware of. Sticking on the Microsoft Graph theme for a second, there are a bunch of APIs around identity protection. So things like getting data about risky users and risk detections that have happened. You used to be able to only get those through the beta API. Now they're going GA on the V1.0 endpoint. So yeah, there's things like risk detections, which will give you information about risk level, the types of risky events that have been going on and which users have been associated, particular risky users you might want to go take a look at, The endpoint is confirm compromised, changes the user's risk level to high risk and reflects their compromised state in risk detail. This can be helpful if you've investigated a risky user and want to update identity protection with their compromised status. So that's more of a push piece to the API. So yeah, moving from GA to GA on the V1.0 endpoint. So more Microsoft Graph goodness there. This is great to see things move from the beta API into V1.0. 1.0 has been 1.0 for a really long time. And I hope that in the not too distant future, we see 2.0 or 1.5 or whatever it's going to be. I think it'll be 2.0 personally. I'd love to see more move into production. But also to do that, I think the Graph team will have to work on how they deal with versioning moving forward so they can keep up the rapid pace of change without having to worry too much about backwards compatibility, because they'll be able to break things in a new major versioned endpoint without affecting those apps that use the previous major version endpoint. So I'm looking forward to this. I think it'll be hopefully a little later. I guess we're already mid this year. A little later this year, hopefully we'll see some announcements around Ignite or what have you around this stuff, which would be really cool. So stay tuned for that. Right, now onto the most interesting part of the show, the picks.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework. Back to the show.
Okay, so picks. AC's not here this week, so I went and dove into our mailbox and picked out a listener pick. Again, just a reminder for all of those folks, if you have anything interesting, could be tech-related, space-related, a book, an article, could be tech-related if you want, doesn't have to be, you can send it in to us. Go to our Facebook page, go search for the Microsoft Cloud Show group and send us something to our inbox there, or get in touch with us through Twitter or what have you, and send us your pick. We will send you one of our Solo FIDO token keys for your login pleasure. And we'll get in touch if your pick is chosen. If your pick is picked, grab your address and we'll send you one of those out. So this week, we have one from Paul Schnackenberg, which is called Cycle Vision. It's a new helmet
for cyclists, which I think is pretty geeky because it's got two cameras on it, a forward and a back camera. So if anybody out here cycles and you want to record what's going on in front of you and what's going on behind you for, I don't know, for being able to back up what happens in certain situations, all of those kinds of things, then Cycle Vision might be for you. So apparently it connects with your phone and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know how much storage it has or how all that sort of stuff works. I haven't dove into it too much. But I know that cyclists get given a lot of grief on the roads by poor drivers. Pardon me. And so things like this can, I think, help with sort of backing up what happens on the road and showing the cops what happens in particular incidences and things like that. So go check that out at cyclevision.com.au. If you can't hear that, that's my greyhound complaining that I'm not paying him enough attention. Anyway, I'll be right with you. Don't worry. Okay, so my pick this week is a YouTube video. This one is called We Persevere. Now, this is from NASA. If you've been keeping up with current events, NASA's next rover has a name. It's been named. It was done by community, nominated by community, and it's going to launch, I believe, later this month. It's already on top of the rocket. In fact, today, I think it just got put on top of its launch vehicle, but it is going to be called Perseverance. So this is pretty cool. They've put up a video all about it, how it got its name. The young lad who got to name it is on there a little bit about what it means to persevere and why it makes sense for us, which I thought was pretty cool. So it's going to shoot off to Mars, hopefully later this month, and go search for more signs of habitable conditions on the red planet and do its part for advancing humans and getting them to Mars. So with that, go check out our picks. Thank you to Paul for his pick. I hope you've enjoyed this relatively short show this week with some quick snappy news. AC will be back with us next week. We'll be back to our regular programming. So with that, thanks very much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in your favorite podcast app. It helps people find out about our show and grow our audience, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide us a link so we can play it on the show. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, the Google Play Store, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll get notices of each episode as well as the show notes sent to you directly each week. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Thanks for listening.